Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, where doctors are developing new approaches in cancer detection and treatment with one goal, ending cancer. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another edition of the Week in Review, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the music industry. And I am very excited today. I have a wonderful, and I do mean wonderful, composer and player, a pianist, par excellence. Her name is Deborah Offenhauser. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you getting the pronunciation of that crazy last name.
I spent some time in Germany, which I'm sure is where your name comes from.
That is true. I'm only about 25% at this point, but that's the heritage.
Right. You know, I left England in 1980. I view the nasty little island best seen from the windows of a 747. about the only country in Europe I would ever go and live in is Germany.
Ah. Okay.
But that's beside the point. All right. This interview is about you. So, I'm going to ask all sorts of evil questions. You know,
okay.
Like, tell me a little bit about yourself. Who is Deborah Offenhauser?
Well, I don't know how far back I should go, but I know it seems like I've always played piano. You know, I start out as a little kid, and the brothers were taking lessons, and that they started before I did, but I was the one that really wanted to do it, I guess. So Mom and Dad had a piano and a teacher that came to the house, and, you know, the rest is history. I just always loved to play.
You're obviously classically trained.
Yes, definitely. My first teacher took me as far as she could, and then she said, I have to turn her over to somebody else. So the next gal, not a gal, she was an older lady that was very strict, and she had a German name too. It was Edith Buchalter, and she was very nice, but very strict, you know, and she had one commandment, and the commandment was, only the classics shalt thou play. And, it's good training. You're learning scales and chords, all the technical things, all the theory, all the great masters. And her idea was, if you learn to play these items, the good quality items, you can play anything else. And that was a true statement. I got the good basic grounding, a good foundation, and from that I was able to end up playing, you know, a little jazz, a little rock and roll, all the things that you need to do to make a living as a musician. But you're ready for anything that comes down the pike. For instance, last night I was accompanying a cruise ship entertainer who's doing a land tour. And, you know, piano, bass, and drums, tracks. And we just jump in. We don't get the music ahead of time. We do the sound check, a quick rehearsal, boom. And that's because I had that good classical training that said, you can read anything. You know, you do this and you can read anything. So I've been pretty happy with that classical training.
Oh, yes. I came out with a statement a couple of days ago, and the more I think about it, the more I dislike it. Right? You know, there are two genres of music: progressive rock and new age that actually don't suck. People know what they're doing.
Okay. It's interesting. Go ahead, Simon.
It was very pompous.
Well, people like all sorts of music, and as long as it's good quality. You know, I can't remember the famous musician that was asked, what's your favorite music? And he said, anything that's good. You know, because you can't say, I don't like country, or I don't like rock, or I don't like whatever, just summarily. I mean, there's merits to everything, and I think if something is well done, it resonates with you. It might not be your favorite style, but if it's well done, you can at least appreciate it on that level.
Yes, indeed. And on that note, I vote we stop yakking and play some music.
Okay.
My absolute favorite track on the album, and I'll tell you this before I play it, is Tans. And after we play it, I want to ask you some questions. So, here it is. This is Tans, and boy, are you in for a treat. Thank you. Oh, my. There is so much to talk about in that one track. The musical composition for the piano is definitely it definitely takes you to a Moroccan bazaar. You know, it's so exotic, and the wind instruments, and you have caused me a lot of grief, young lady. I am still trying to find out what the name of the real Moroccan instrument is called. But it just absorbs you. You know, you can just let the music envelop you. Tell me about the track. How did it come about?
Well, probably, the inspiration came because my husband and I had taken a trip to Morocco 4 or 5 years ago, and I like the word absorbed. You do sort of get absorbed in the culture, and you're just in awe of everything that you're seeing, you know, the overnight in the Saharan desert or walking through the souk, eating from a tagine, all the wonderful combinations of scents and smells and oral things going on with the music that you get at almost every meal as a tourist. They make sure that you're getting a lot of the culture. And I think that just rattled around in my brain and got shaken up, and boom, out came Tons a few years later. And thanks to the magic of wonderful sidemen, it was a very collaborative thing, because you can just tell the sidemen, well, this is what I've written down, but do you want to add a little something? And sometimes they just added wonderful little pixie dust to it and created this transformation, I think, of what was in my head to something that I can share with everyone's ears.
Oh, I can't praise it enough. I think it's just a fabulous, fabulous track.
Well, thank you so much, Simon. So do you have any others from that soundscape CD that you liked other than Tons?
Oh, I like them all.
Okay.
The problem is, you know, figuring out which ones to play, you know, because of limited studio time. Let me ask you another question. Let's do something absolutely shameless, commercially shameless. Where can people buy copies of soundscapes?
Oh, thank you for asking. It's available many places. Like if you just like to do digital, it's at iTunes, Amazon.com, CDBaby.com has downloads, but also physical CDs. My website, which is DebsPianoWeb.com, you can contact me there, and I can send you something. Also, a lovely, lovely site that over the years has been so supportive of all of my music has been watchfiremusic.com. It's a long title, but watchfiremusic.com. They carry my inspirational solos that are sung in churches, all my sheet music for children, plus just about every recording that I've ever made. So it's a lovely site, and you can find many things, many other wonderful artists there as well. So thank you for asking.
Oh, my pleasure, because I plan on checking it out.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, your music is outstanding, and I say that to very few musicians.
Thank you, Simon.
A question I commonly ask musicians, but I already know the answer, so I'll ask it anyway, but then change it slightly. The composing process, and my normal question is, do you start with the words or the music? Now, in your case, I know you don't start with the words because there really aren't very many. But do you start with a big idea or just a chord phrase and kind of build on it from there?
See, I could be funny and say yes, because it depends on the piece. Some things come to me and they're fully orchestrated and composed. I'm like, wow. Other things I think come this all through inspiration. You know, I cannot really take any credit myself and go, gee, I'm such a great pianist or composer or arranger. I mean, I know where my gift comes from, and I'm reflecting it from a higher source. And so God's given me this gift to, you know, to listen and utilize this gift. And one piece came to me that is a song because it has words that I'm confident is just healing a lot of people. It is called Child of God. And that has words that a soloist can sing it in a church. The music stands alone by itself as well. But you marry the two together, the words and the music, and I've actually had people tell me they've had physical healings. Now, I know that is nothing that I just came up with out of my brain. Simon, I have to tell you, I was out walking outside, and the words and the melody came at the same time. And I'm like, wait, I don't have a pencil and paper, wait. But it came pouring in, you know. And so I'm like, thank you, Father, Mother, God, thank you. And so I was able to remember enough to get home and start writing this down. And then I would listen, and some other verses would come, and I would listen, and so forth. So there's an example from my Child of God album, which is available at watchfiremusic.com. Of the inspirational side, where I get it out, and that's my healing mission. Of course, with my soundscapes, I want the highest quality, and there's another track on here called Nothing Can Touch You Now. That's track number 3 from Soundscapes. And a friend of mine was struggling with a problem, and we didn't really talk about it, but it's pretty obvious she could use some support. I'm driving down the highway after seeing her, 65 miles an hour, and the phrase, nothing can touch you now, came to me with a melody. Now, in this case, I didn't take the words any further. I might at some point, but this, it just came to me. She's protected. Nothing can touch her. You know, God's love is all around her. That's what that piece was about. So it's interesting how the inspiration can come in different ways. Things can be lighthearted, and other things can be very, very serious and have that healing element to them. But I love this composing process. It's very intriguing to me, but I can't take the full credit.
Yes, I've actually heard that statement from many musicians.
Oh, good. Yeah.
You know, things happen, and you know, songs happen, music happens.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, why don't we play another track?
Okay.
Rosemont theme. Again, let's play it, and then you can tell me all about it afterwards.
Okay. Alrighty.
Okay. another very, very beautiful piece of work.
I view the
piano as an incredibly versatile weapon. You play it with kindness. Some people play it in anger.
Well, I very rarely experience that emotion, but if I did, I would go play some Bach and work all that anger out.
Right. But I'm sure you've heard, you know, angry piano pieces.
Oh, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. You just don't do them. You know, you're having a love affair with the keys. You're not beating the crap out of them.
No, I definitely love the piano. It's been good to me, and it's a great expression, you know, for me to play. And people can tell I played in a auto factory bar back in Flint, Michigan, when I was young. That's where I grew up, and that was an interesting way to get to learn about all sorts of people, and they would get to know you in your playing, your singing and playing in this bar, and the guys would walk in after their 11 o'clock shift was over, and they're like, "Are you sad today?" I'm like, "What?" They could tell if I was sad or if maybe I was a little angry or something. I'm like, "How can you tell this?" And they're like, we've been hearing you play. Normally you're very happy, and tonight, you know, you sounded a little off. So people can tell. You know, people they listen to music, they feel things, and that's, Simon, as you know, this is a spiritual quality, and music is such a wonderful way to share with people all the wonderful emotions, as we mentioned earlier, something that can be very healing. You know, but in this case, yeah, I love the piano, and this was a very a lovely piece that I composed for a friend of mine that is an author, and she has something called the Rosemont series of books that she sells on Amazon, and I said, I think you need a piece of music in case you ever make a movie and get on Hallmark Hall of Fame or something, you know. So I came up with this piece. So it started out as a nice little piano piece, and then I decided to orchestrate it, and eventually it made it to Soundscape. So I'm glad you like that.
Oh, I do. All of the pieces on Soundscape are outstanding. I'm saving one for last. But before we get into that, let's talk about, do you like to play live, or, you know, the excitement of the stage, or do you prefer to stay hunkered in the bunker, the studio?
I like a little of both. I definitely like to play live. Interestingly, I don't play out with a group that would allow me to play my soundscapes. There's just too many people involved to have a live performance at this point in time. I would love to go on tour and concert with it, but just to play in a, you know, a nightclub, I don't do that. But I do a lot of private things. I'm in the middle of a tour around the state with, as I mentioned earlier, a cruise ship entertainer that's here on land. And about 2 weeks ago, I did another cruise ship entertainer, and you know, she did vocal impressions and things. So I'm playing live, reading music, playing with other musicians, and getting in before midnight, which is always good. So I do the best of both worlds. But I love the studio. Don't get me wrong. I love the studio. But I love playing live because you've got that audience and you're getting immediate feedback that they're liking something, and they come up afterwards and tell you how much you've made their night. You've transported them away for a couple of hours into a delightful world of entertainment. And that's hard to beat. That's kind of a nice place to be. So that's my answer.
That was a very good answer, by the way. I mean, it impressed me.
Well, I try to do a little of everything. You know, if I do any one thing, I probably get too bored. So it's nice to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, and I teach piano when I'm around here as well. So, like, I love working with young people. And it's all to the good. It makes me a better person.
Right. I mean, all I do is sit on my back deck surrounded with my idiot dogs. Well, and idiot cat.
I know what cats can be like and dogs. I understand.
Yeah. I mean, you're far more productive than I am.
I'm just a little insane, that's all. But I love, you know, I like to engage in life. You know, it just might as well always be doing something that's fun and wonderful, and I like it. I like meeting people like yourself, and getting my music out there is the nice exchange. I just hope I can reach a lot of people, and I appreciate the opportunity that you've given me here today, Simon.
I was looking at your website. I'm a nosy Parker.
Okay.
If I'm going to interview someone, I'll want to know their nits and grits. I understand that the piano is not your only weapon. It's your weapon of choice. But
yeah.
What else do you play?
Well, I have a standing gig, if you will, Sunday mornings. I play classical organ at a Christian Science church nearby, and they like to have classical music, so it's very good quality music, and there's a soloist that I have to accompany. So that keeps me firmly grounded. That's my most important gig of the week. And then the other items that I play, I don't play out in public. It would be too embarrassing at this point in time. But at one point, maybe during my younger years, I've played violin or fiddle, five-string banjo, mandolin, recorder, a little bit of guitar. I'm probably leaving something out, but you know, it's fun. Every time you play a different instrument, there are certain types of music that lend themselves naturally to that particular instrument. So it's really been to my benefit to play many different things as well as I can, and delve into that kind of music. So from playing the banjo, I've developed quite a love for bluegrass music because it was a five-string banjo. Violin, I grew up playing classically in youth orchestras, but then turned to the fiddle. So I learned Irish and Scottish fiddle tunes and so forth. And it's all good. It all helps you become a more well-rounded musician and person. So you can talk about a lot more things that way.
Absolutely. The organ. I love the organ. I don't suppose it's a pipe organ.
Unfortunately not. I have had the opportunity to play on a few, but they seem to be a rare beast nowadays. but they do indeed. But they have some wonderful organs that, you know, the virtual organ, if you will. You know, it's electronic, but it's way past what Grandma had as her spinet organ in the attic kind of a thing. I mean, it's the sounds that these organs can create now are pretty fabulous, pretty fabulous. So I do the best I can with my Bach and other appropriate pieces, and it's my most difficult instrument. I really have to work at playing the organ. It's not natural like falling off the piano bench for me playing piano, but the organ, boy, I have to be wide awake on Sunday mornings to make sure that I'm playing it properly. But then it's magnificent. It is the king of instruments. It's magnificent organ. So
yes.
I'm appreciative to have that job. I really am.
many years ago, it was sometime in the 80s, I think, I was commissioned to do a photo shoot and a video shoot of a wedding, which really wasn't my favorite thing, but yeah, it was a friend, so I said, well, okay, fine. And so we turn up at the church, and they have this really nice organ. And the organist is just tinkering around. And I say to him, how about Bach, Staccato, and Fugue? Bet it would sound good on here.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly did. But then we had people rushing into the church demanding, what was that?
Yeah. Oh, it's fabulous. Like his Toccata in D minor, da 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 da.
Yep.
I play that for my postlude every Sunday that's close to Halloween. And everybody laughs. They're like, oh, yeah, that's her annual scary piece. But, I mean, it's a beautiful piece. People know Bach. They react to Bach. They love Bach. He's the best for the organ, I'll tell you. It's fabulous. So that was a good story.
Okay. I'm looking at the time. I think we've got time to squeeze in one more tune.
Okay, wonderful.
Taninen.
Yeah, Taninen, I think. Taninen. Yeah, Taninen.
Yeah. This is what I call the kitchen sink tune, but we'll talk about it afterwards.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now,
so that made you think of the kitchen sink, huh?
Right. I love to come up with nicknames for things. And the first time I heard that track, I went, ah, that's everything and the kitchen sink.
There you go. I may end up calling that now. You got me thinking about that, but it does have a lot of things going on, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It has more moving parts than the space shuttle.
There we go. There's a lot happening on that. And Tanninan, by the way, is Aramaic for the word sea creatures. And I was thinking of, the great beast of the deep. You know, maybe I must have been reading about Jonah the whale or something, right? And so it got me thinking, I wonder what other words there are for great fish and behemoth and all the different terms we use. And this ended up becoming a song, so pretty interesting. But it does kind of remind you of underwater, doesn't it?
Oh,
that
yes,
has to do with the kitchen sink, too.
Personally, I try and avoid our kitchen sink as much as I can. But
understandable.
My wife shouts at me. Simon.
Oh, I understand. I understand.
So, what's next for you, Deborah? I mean, I've never met a musician that is content. Oh, I'm just going to, sit here and listen to my latest CD. You know,
right.
they always have something new and exciting.
Always. Well, I, you know, this has just recently come out, so I still am in the throes of, being in love with it and wanting to, you know, get the music out there and marketing, and that can be quite busy just doing that. But I think once I get past a certain phase of marketing, I can get back to composing, and I'm upgrading my computer and getting some nice virtual orchestras that I'm going to buy. And, you know, I got a couple thousand dollars worth of items to buy. You know, I have to get to some new toys. And I think when the new toys arrive, then I will start composing again, because I'll have all this new basket of sounds to play with, and it'll bring some new inspiring ideas to me, no doubt. So I don't know what that next project's going to be, but I've gotten a lot of music on TV, and so I think I will probably focus on getting some more items, you know, perhaps on a nature show or whatever they tell me the needs are. So you never know where you might hear my music.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to ask a favor of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send you a track, and I'd like you to listen to it. The title, I believe, is Water's End. It was written, in the annals of time, in the 1600s, 1700s. No one really knows when. And then became part of a British hymn. Happy am I live, or something like that. Of course, the tune has been dumbed down over many, many decades, so that, you know, anyone can plunk it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it is incredibly pretty. I'll send it to you, and You're going to let me know what you think about it.
Okay. Thank you. I'll look forward to that.
I'm looking at the time, and I've got that evil woman, the one that started, you know, griping at us before we went on air. She's now griping at me again.
Okay.
Deborah, it has been delightful to talk to you. Please keep in touch. And I wish you every success with
Sir.
Soundscapes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity. It's been delightful as well to get to know you. And I know we'll be in touch exchanging music down the road here.
You bet. Okay, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back again soon with another edition of the Week in Review. Till next time, goodbye.
Some choices are hard, like should you choose McDonald's Buttermilk Crispy Tenders or the Buttermilk Crispy Chicken in our signature crafted recipe sandwiches? Well, guess what? You can't make a wrong choice. It's Buttermilk Love, and that's good news. Speaking of good news, now you can get McDonald's two-piece Buttermilk Crispy Tenders for just $2 from their $1, $2, $3 menu. Cannot be combined with other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Some choices are hard, like should you choose McDonald's Buttermilk Crispy Tenders or the Buttermilk Crispy Chicken in our signature crafted recipe sandwiches? Well, guess what? You can't make a wrong choice. It's Buttermilk Love, and that's good news. Speaking of good news, now you can get McDonald's two-piece Buttermilk Crispy Tenders for just $2 from their $1, $2, $3 menu. Cannot be combined with other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary.